words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Wow, what an exciting day this has been already. I've been looking forward to this for weeks. And so in this lesson, it happens to do with the end of times, tribulation. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, how are we going to pull this together? We've got a baptism that was already pre-scheduled, and now we have a lesson about the end of times. And I wanted Bruce to know that this is not the end for you. This is only the beginning. So hopefully we've been able to weave this message for you this morning in a way that will pull it all together. So today is a day of great celebration, not only here, but in the heavens. And right now, I can assure you, the angels of God are rejoicing that they have added onto the Book of Life another member in the Christ Kingdom, Bruce Paul Johnston. A few moments ago, we baptized a new member into this kingdom. Now marked as one of Christ forever, one of His own, we welcome him into the body of Christ. Before I get into the lesson from the Gospel today, I want to say a few words about Holy Communion and Holy Baptism and what it means. Holy Communion and Holy Baptisms are only the two sacraments specifically mentioned in the New Testament. These two sacraments are the ones that are explicitly ordained by Christ Jesus. Now, there are five other sacraments alluded to in Scriptures, which are Holy Matrimony, Holy Orders, Confirmation, Penance, and Unction. But you may ask, well, tell me, what is a sacrament? Well, a sacrament is defined as an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. So, as witnesses to this baptism here at this font, what do you think would be the outward and visible sign? Well, clearly, it's the water that was made holy before the service. So that's the outward and visible sign. And then you ask yourselves, well, what is the inward and spiritual grace that's being received? The inward and spiritual grace is the reception of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm going to talk about here now. St. Paul describes in 1 Corinthians where we read, to each is the manifestation of the Spirit given for the common good. To one there is given a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, to another faith, to another the gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing spirits, and to another speaking in tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Now all these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He distributes them just as He determines. Just as a body has many parts, so it is with Christ. We are baptized by one Spirit, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given to one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Therefore, we are one body in Christ and at Holy Communion when Bruce receives his first cup at the altar. We drink from the same cup as a symbol of one body. The evidence of these gifts manifested in all baptized believers is faith, hope, and love, which incidentally is the title of today's sermon. So for the benefit of not only our newly minted member in Christ's kingdom, Bruce, and of the benefit of all God's family here today, I believe it is important that we read from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians concerning these gifts I just mentioned of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians we read, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am speaking only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I might boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will all cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why love? Because God is love. Love is the common thread that binds us as Christians into the tapestry of the body of Christ. This is why we incorporate the summary of the law into all our weekly services. Jesus Christ summarized the Ten Commandments by reminding us to love God with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our minds, and to love each other as Christ loved us, who died for us. Therefore, we should be willing to die for one another. This is a deep and abiding love. We accomplish this feat by dying to sin in our lives and seeking to live righteously, not self-righteously like the Pharisee. We seek to live righteously like the publican who said in St. Luke 18:9, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Likewise, remembering St. Peter, who, when he realized he was in the presence of Christ Jesus, said, Depart from me, for I am a sinner, O Lord. And as we read in 1 Corinthians, Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. As baptized believers, we seek to live according to God's commandments in love. For then our names will be on the lips of Christ Jesus and fully known. For it is not important that we know Jesus Christ because the entire world knows him. Rather, it is important that Christ Jesus know us and be fully known. This is our challenge on how we live, for it is not by works but by God's grace that we are saved. We should live according to the same grace God extends to us, and we should show that same kind of grace to others with love. By living this way, we become the beacon of Christ Jesus that shines into a dark and lonely world. Let the light of Christ Jesus shine through us. And if you look at Bruce right now, you will see that light that now shines through him. It is a joy to see. It is radiant, and it draws those around him closer to God. By seeking to live a righteous life, we become stronger parts of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, we also read, When completeness comes. Completeness is referring to the end of times. This transitions us into the gospel lesson for today. This verse is followed by, For now we see only a reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. The reflection in the mirror is us in the image of God. At the end of times, we will see God face to face, as we also read in the Beatitudes a few weeks ago. It coincides with the second coming depicted in the book of Revelation as well. It marks the beginning of God's kingdom on earth. St. Matthew's Gospel warns us in today's lesson about false prophets. Yet before I go into very much detail, I must forcibly mention that Christ tells us that no one knows the hour nor the day. In Matthew 24, we clearly read Christ say this, But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Only the Father in heaven knows when, and there will continue to be false prophets predicting the end of days. Today's lesson begins by Christ saying, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." I call your attention to the story of Moses in the Old Testament, where he was before Pharaoh's court. The Egyptian magicians displayed supernatural powers as well, but these powers are not of God, so beware. Do not fall victim to those lost souls who pretend to be the Christ or the Messiah. I am sure many of them are sincere, but the Scriptures do not waver on this issue. Only God knows the hour of His Son's return. Biblical scholars equate the beginning of time at the Garden of Eden to the present to 6,000 years. They base this on one day being equal to 1,000 years. So if God created heaven and earth in 6 days, then we arrive at the 6,000 figure. On the seventh day, God rested, which is related to the millennial. So from Adam to the days of Christ were equal to 4,000 years. From Christ's birth, there have been recorded 2,013 years. Therefore, we are around the proverbial 6,000-year mark, and that is why we are considered to be at the end of the church age. Theologically, we are approaching those end times. In the final days, God tells us that there will be wars and rumors of wars, but not to be fearful. In St. Matthew 24, we read, "As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us when this will happen, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age." Jesus answered them by saying, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." David Koresh, sound familiar? "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places." Have you heard of any hurricanes or earthquakes or famines in the last few years? "All of these are the beginning of the birth pains. Then you will be handed over to the persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." Does Al-Qaeda or radical Muslim sound familiar? Christians around the world are being murdered in record numbers today. "At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness." And here's where I want you to pay attention. For Christ says, "The love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." We just read, "The love of the most will grow cold." Guard yourselves that this does not happen to you. Love your enemies and those we read in the Beatitudes who despitefully use you. And I know it's not easy, but it's something that we must do as Christians. And I promise, when you do, miraculous things will begin to develop in you. There is not enough time to fully discuss this topic in detail, but in summary, suffice it to say in closing, and the end of the church age that will be followed by the rapture, then the 3.5 years of the beginning of sorrows, followed by 3.5 years of the great tribulation, followed by the millennial 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then the final judgment. But how does all of this tie together with holy baptism? Well, it's very simple. Baptism and the second coming are new beginnings. In our baptism, we become a member of the kingdom of God. Our ultimate gifts are faith, hope, and the greatest of these, love. We have faith in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We have hope in His coming again. And when we love God with all our heart and each other as Christ loved us, we will be sustained through our most difficult times, now and at the end of times. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.